Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. The Conservative leadership race continues unabated, with four of the contenders visiting the TV studios today. Michael Gove has been making the headlines for all the wrong reasons after admitting to taking cocaine on several occasions while he was a journalist for The Times. Andrew Marr inquired further about this revelation.
You've talked about your use of cocaine. Do you accept that you committed a crime?
It was a crime. It was a mistake. I deeply regret it.
Should you have gone to prison?
I was fortunate in that I didn't, but I do think that it was a profound mistake, and I've seen the damage that drugs do. I've seen it close up, and I've also seen it in the work that I've done as a politician. Mm-hmm. And that's why I deeply regret the mistake that I made.
How many times did you take cocaine?
I took it several occasions, on social occasions, more than 20 years ago when I was working as a journalist.
Was it a habit?
No, I don't believe it was. It was a mistake, and it was a mistake that I deeply regret.
You were looking at the dates. You were about 30 at the time. You weren't a young man. You weren't a teenager. Did you have any sense then of the damage that this was doing to other kids on the streets of London, many of whom may be in prison right now?
I do have a profound sense of regret about it all, and I am very, very aware of the damage that drugs do. As you know, Andrew, I was Justice Secretary. During that time, one of the things I said is that people should never be defined by the worst decision that they made. People should be given a chance to redeem themselves and to change. And I introduced efforts to have problem-solving courts so that individuals who may have used drugs had the opportunity to change their lives, to make a contribution. And I'm very, very conscious of the fact that the mistake that I made is not a mistake I would want anyone else to make.
Well, the crime that you committed, the maximum sentence for that is 7 years in prison and or an unlimited fine. And again, right now, there are people who did what you did who are in prison. And there are lots of kids, basically, who supplied cocaine to people like yourself who have either been stabbed or are dead. Cressida Dick, who's head of the Met, said that people like yourself who've used cocaine on social occasions and middle-class parties have blood on their hands. Is she right?
I hugely respect Cressida Dick, and one of the things that I would absolutely say is that it is a mistake, which I profoundly regret.
Marr also spoke to Esther McVeigh, the former Work and Pensions Secretary, who is determined to leave the EU without a deal on the 31st of October.
Parliament is very likely to vote down any government taking us towards no deal. That's where they are at the moment. Would you suspend Parliament during sort of late September and October in order to get out with no deal if you had to?
That wouldn't be my priority. I wouldn't be looking to do that, no.
But if you had to, would you?
But what I've said, hang on a sec, Andrew. What I've said is we'd use all the tools at our disposal because what
we
have
seen... But that includes proroguing Parliament, doesn't it?
What we have seen by MPs going against the democratic vote of the country. They have torn up 400 years of history. They've ripped up the rule book. So it seems somewhat wrong to me that people wanting to frustrate the vote can rip up the rule book, yet should I want to use any tools at my disposal, I would be incorrect when I'm helping ensure the democratic vote of the people. But, can you see a conflict of thought in that process?
Proroguing Parliament and the dates of the Queen's speech and so forth is something that has to be agreed between the Queen and the Privy Council. So to be clear, as Prime Minister, you would be prepared to go to the Queen and say, I don't want Parliament to sit for this period for these reasons.
Andrew, did you see the hypocrisy between I would just be using the laws. And so, as I've said to you clearly...
I'm asking you what you would do as Prime Minister. There's the Queen sitting there. You have to persuade the Queen to stop Parliament sitting during a period. Do you ask her to do that or not?
And I've been clear to you that I wouldn't be looking to do that. All I was pointing out was the hypocrisy of people wanting to frustrate the
vote. So you're not answering my question.
It's a very clear question.
Well, if you're Prime Minister, do you, A, consider the possibility of suspending Parliament during that period? And if the answer, as I think, is yes, do you accept that you then have to sit in front of the Queen and say, don't allow Parliament to sit during October? And that is bringing the monarch absolutely into what would be a ferocious political controversy.
I said I'd use every tool at my disposal. So that would include that. I'm saying it wouldn't be my priority and I wouldn't be looking to do that. But like I said, people frustrating the vote ripped up 400 years of rules. I personally would be using what were in my tools, as it were, my toolkit. I think there's a big difference.
The Home Secretary, Sajid Javid, was Sophie Ridge's first guest of the day.
With drug policy a key part of Javid's remit, the conversation soon turned to Michael Gove.
Do you think it's acceptable for someone who is running to be Prime Minister to have done drugs, given the fact that they're illegal?
Look, it's not for me to pass judgment on your fellow candidates. You know, any Tory MP, if they can get the nominations, they can run as a candidate and they've got to make their case. You know, I will make mine, they can make their case.
At the same time, you're Home Secretary.
Well, as Home Secretary, I'm very happy to speak about drugs. I'm not wanting to speak about any individual. I don't think that's appropriate. But you know, when it comes to drugs, and especially you know, people have been talking recently about middle-class drug use, I've talked about it a number of times, that it is you know, people do need to know. It doesn't matter whether you're middle-class or not. Anyone that takes Class A drugs, you know, they need to think about that supply chain that comes from Colombia, let's say, to Chelsea, and the number of lives that are destroyed along the way.
So people who take drugs have a responsibility, do they, to think of...
Anyone who takes drugs should be thinking about how they are not just hurting themselves, but how they are destroying so many countless lives on the way. And, you know, there are people that, you know, they have their organic food, they boast about buying fair trade, they talk about climate change, and at the same time, you know, come Friday or Saturday night, they're ordering Class A drugs. And they should be thinking about the impact they're having, especially on children, and with the rise in county gangs, and the horrific abuse I've seen as Home Secretary of young children that are being trafficked into this trade. So people anywhere, you should be thinking about the impact they're having on others, absolutely.
Rich then moved on to the Foreign Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, who had a warning for those advocating leaving the EU without a deal.
So what is your plan?
Well, it's very straightforward. We are in the middle of a constitutional crisis and nothing, literally nothing, can be done until we get through Brexit. And the choice we have to make as a Conservative Party is who is the leader, who is the Prime Minister, who is most likely to get us a deal that can get through Parliament and allow us to do all the other really important things that I want to do as Prime Minister of this country. And my argument is, as someone who has been a negotiator all their life, I set up and ran my own business for 14 years. I've negotiated big deals in government, whether it's the junior doctors contract dispute, which was a very difficult one, the BBC licence fee, which was an incredibly short negotiation. I have that experience. And if we can get a deal, that is the only way we will avoid a general election. And you've just been talking about the Peterborough by-election with John Ashworth. If we repeat going to the country on a national scale, then we will see what happened at Peterborough happening on a national scale, which is the right-wing vote, the centre-right vote split, and Labour coming through the middle. And that would be an absolute catastrophe.
And finally, James Cleverly, the Brexit minister who has since pulled out of the crowded race, told Ridge who he was now supporting.
I've given it a lot of thought. I've spoken to my association. I've spoken to people in my constituency, and I've decided that I'm going to support Boris Johnson as the leader of the party. I've worked with him in London. I've stood shoulder to shoulder with him on two election campaigns, both in 2008 and in 2012. I've seen him reach out to audiences and voters that the Conservative Party would not normally expect to be on side. And I know he can run a successful executive operation because I was part of the team that did that when we were in London for 8 years. So that's why I'm going to be supporting him for leader.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And we also have a special offer. You can subscribe to The Spectator for 12 weeks for just £12 and you'll receive a free Amazon voucher worth £20. Just go to spectator.co.uk/voucher. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/Evening Blend. Thanks for listening and do join us again next week.